I think I did okay. Did you do okay?
I was really good until the end of the third period. Actually, Jacob Verano, when he almost scored in front of the net, my heart just jumped a beat, and I was just miserable. I was just miserable for the rest of the time. And then in overtime, I felt the bottom pit of my stomach just flummoxing, and I was losing my mind. It was like I ate like 10 rolls of sweet tarts.
There was a I can't remember who had it. Maybe it was Gensel. It was always Gensel. Had like a chance in overtime, and like I was just like saying to Eileen, I'm like, I'm good, I'm fine, everything's cool. And then that chance happened, and I like put my hands over my mouth, and I was like, and then like it dawned on me, I was like, damn it, I am really like wrapped up in this. I have been trying to play like Zen cool for the whole series, but by OT, and I realized how close this was. And you know, it, like every play had like so much weight to it, you know, like, oh sure, like the Caps could score and then we're in the situation we're in now, but just for a moment before we get to the fun part, like the crushing weight of history was on every single play.
Oh god.
If that puck went in, if Holpe didn't make that save, if Orlov didn't make that stick check, then it would have been game seven, and it would have had all of that same angst. And you know, some post columnist would write something and it would be on freaking Kornheiser, and we'd be through that rigmarole again. But that didn't happen. I don't know what to do.
I don't know either. The best part of them winning was, and I said it on Twitter, was that I got 26 text messages from different people. I have so many Facebook messages right now, I can't even count. Everybody that I have ever met in my life contacted me and is like celebrating or congratulating me. And it's unreal. I just can't believe. I don't know. Like, I believed all night they were going to win, but that moment it happened, it just didn't feel real, you know?
No one texted me.
Do you want me to text you right now?
Yeah, that'd feel good if you would just do that real quick. Hey, the Washington Capitals beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-2 in our advance to the conference finals. Let's talk about it.
And now, it's time for the RMNB Podcast.
So, man, I got my sister texted me.
Wait, you can put this on the podcast. One second.
Yeah, I've got my volume on. My ringer is actually, my ringer will be familiar to anyone who listened to our No Agenda podcast from a few weeks back. Drew probably doesn't even know that they won yet. He's at a hockey game.
Oh really?
Yeah, I was like texting him. He's like, yeah, I gotta get in the car, go to the game. I'm like, oh dude, like, you know, he plays like super late light rec league at the Frederick Skate joint.
That's awesome.
I'm sure they're going bananas though.
All right, here
watching
you go.
Watching on the TV by the curly fries and the chicken tenders. That was from my, computer, but the one from my phone, it didn't make a sound. Just trust me. Just bad radio. But the drama was there. So speaking of not knowing what to do, we're talking because the website's not working right now. We'll do full disclosure on that next week. For now, let's just not talk about the website. Let's talk about the Washington Capitals. So I didn't have a chance to look up. I was doing like work stuff all day, and then I sit down in the evening and like, you know, 5 o'clock, and I see like the pregame go up and the lines blow me away. I mean, like, I get Nick Backstrom couldn't play, his hands all bandaged up, but like those lines were jacked up. And then the biggest surprise, the surprise that's bigger than the Washington Capitals beating the Pittsburgh Penguins for the first time since 1994 to advance to the conference finals for the first time since 1998, that is dwarfed by Nathan Walker playing in the playoffs and getting an assist. Fact certified.
That's, I mean,
agree or disagree.
That's the last thing I expected it for this game. When I was morning, when the morning skate happened, I was like, that has to be a mistake. You know, because like Trotz, you know, Trotz didn't trash him per se, but I mean, you know, they went through all that trouble to keep him on the team after training camp, and then they sit him down and he went through that waiver wire stuff. He was in Edmonton, and you know, I know he was really frustrated when he ended up having to go to Hershey. So, and I thought Shane Gersick played pretty well, you know?
Yeah, I did too. He looked a little over his head last time, yeah. But yeah, so here were the lines. Let's go top to bottom, because this is interesting. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Stevenson on the top line. First of all, Chandler Bong has blown my mind. Like I get that he doesn't have quite the dynamism that, you know, you get with like Vrana or Wilson up there, but better than Smith-Pelly by a damn sight, and a really solid player, did good on the faceoff dot when he had the chance to do so, which was pretty often. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I thought the line, they weren't super dangerous, but they had their moments at times, and of course in overtime, you know, they had the decisive tally, and it was great defense. I mean,
Ovi was really had a lot of action. I think he had 10 shot attempts before regulation ended. So he was getting some looks.
Nothing super super dangerous though.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of blocks. The Penguins did the thing that you do against Kovechkin in an elimination game where you just dive in front of everything he puts out there. Second line, Jacob Vrana, Lars Eller, TJ Oshie. I did not like it personally.
They had
a couple good looks. not the best line. No, we're going to get to the best line of the night. It's coming in a minute. It was not them. I don't know. They were fine. It doesn't matter. See, and I'm also pretty even on the next line, which is Brett Connolly, Travis Boyd, and Devontae Smith-Pelly. I think Smith-Pelly had a couple of dope moments in this one that bugged the hell out of me.
Yeah, they look fine to me. To go back to the second line, though, they were the most dominant line the Capitals had in the third period in overtime, and I really thought that the waves that they created gave the Capitals confidence to win at the end there. It's just unreal. Like, Oshie, who is banged up, has like 100 injuries. I mean, he was the best player on the ice. Unreal. I mean, I just thought...
Oshie really digs deep, doesn't he? You see, like, he's scrambling, but he lands hits, and those hits matter. And like, there's another player on the ice who lands big hits, and they do not matter. but yeah, we don't have to say. We just know who we're talking about. Oshie, he's sort of like a mess, but he's a hot mess. I like what he's laying down there. I'm picking it up. Brett Connolly, Travis Boyd, and DSP had a really good shift in the second period. I swear to God, it was with Orpik and Juice. That was probably the best surge of action that the team saw, aside from the best line of the night, Nathan Walker, Jay Beagle, and Alex Chason, who I will testify that, first of all, Nathan Walker, good stick handling, but the thing that he really brings is speed. And when Jay Beagle sent him that pass, I mean, obviously the goal going in was a fluke. I mean, Chason is a wonderful player who plays above his head sometimes, but Walker created an opportunity for him, made space, or made enough time at least for Chason to get into a good location. And it just happened that Matt Murray didn't lock down that post and Chason got it in. I love them. I said this on Twitter. Did you see my good tweet? Did you see my good tweet? It was a four-part tweet during intermission overtime.
No, I did.
Where I announced that Nathan Walker's on-ice shot attempt percentage during 5-on-5 play in game 6 of the semifinal
was 69%.
Oh, my God.
It was the biggest tweet of the night until I just posted Rachel's the dead wind design. Anyway, I really like them. This isn't me going like, again, I am right at my analysis like Roenick, but like I really liked what I saw out of Beagle with Walker early in the season when Beagle was, it became very obvious that they were using Beagle differently and he was struggling. And I really liked how Walker sort of gave them a little bit more pep, and I think it worked great.
You know what, Walker does, he gives another dimension. It kind of reminds me of Hockey on Sundays, where there's like one slow guy, like the center is really slow because he's played like a 6-minute shift because we don't have any subs, and so the center guy just like kind of heaves it, you know, to open space, and the fast guy goes and gets it that never gets tired, and Walker's kind of like that. He just has all this energy, you know, and that goal that he did with Chason, I mean, that was a great like redirect by Beagle at the red line to kind of get it down the wall, and then he just turned on his speed, and He's one of the fastest guys in the NHL. And, you know, that's the, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, for all the stuff that happened during the regular season, the Caps lineup is kind of going towards how I always wanted it. You know what I mean? In the big games, it kind of,
hell yeah.
And a little bit accidentally, but, you know, I just like seeing Verana the last game win it for him, seeing Nathan Walker have a huge game six. I mean, it just, you know, it kind of makes you, I'm just so happy that they got an opportunity. You know what I mean? It just, they really have some good young talent, and when they get an opportunity, they can be game changers. And, you know, tonight it happened, you know, and then Kuzi with the huge goal. I just, oh my God.
I think this is the thing it always gets down to. We're like, this team versus previous teams, you judge them based on their playoff success, which obviously has a lower granularity than their win loss record in the regular season or how many games or goal differentials and stuff like that. But obviously this year's team is more successful than last year's team and also the 19 before them. But no one would say that, you know, this year's team would get its ass kicked by last year's team. And, you know, if they were to play each other in a Mortal Kombat mirror match. That said, I think that this team's roster is better than their performance. I think that this team could play better. And I don't care how it happens. I will only make a handful of snide jokes about Barry Trotz being the current coach of the Washington Capitals a few times per day. If they play well, and I think that they have legitimately played well this series and last, then that's a tribute to every single human being that puts on that sweater and the people that keep them healthy and the people that pay them and the people that drive them around and the coach. So all credit to Barry Trotz for doing what, you know, his last seven predecessors couldn't do. Here's a quote from Evgeny Kuznetsov. This comes via Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Nathan Walker, he played unbelievable. Played like a little motherfucker. That's the only word I have for him.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm not bleeping that. I'm not putting the explicit tag on the podcast, but that's the quote. What a great quote. And a wonderful radio segue to Evgeny Kuznetsov, who had the monster play, which, by the way, you published an article about. If you have that, you can go ahead and promote that while I'm talking about it. But in overtime, Alex Ovechkin, you know, gets the puck back from a failed zone entry, makes it through neutral, sees Evgeny Kuznetsov ahead of him, makes a very simple pass up. Kuznetsov has two Penguins behind him, open ice ahead of him between him and Matt Murray, makes a couple really simple moves and puts the puck through the five hole, bird celebration, hugs, and then all of a sudden the series is over. Unbelievable effort. Kuznetsov, by the way, like, this is the thing the Capitals have not gotten in the postseason. Seven goals, and I believe it's been 12 games, right? Both series went to six games. That alone right there is changing. That is status quo shattering for the Washington Capitals to have true secondary scoring from someone who's not Alex Ovechkin. Wonderful. And honestly, Ovechkin, you know, didn't get any, well, I guess he got the point on the game winner, but he didn't have any goals in this game, but he still had a tremendous individual effort with, you know, as much offense as he put on net or into the brains and legs and thighs of Penguins players who dove in front of them. That's all you got.
You know, I remember covering him when he was playing for Tractor Chelyabinsk, and as soon as he got the breakaway, I knew he was going to score, you know, because I remember when he was like 18, he scored like 70 or 80% of his goals in the KHL on breakaways because he was so fast, and he has ice in his veins. You know, he played in the finals in the KHL before he came over. He's played so many big games in his life. You know, he's been a kid, you know, he was featured in Hockey Nomad, where I think he was like, he might have been younger than 12. You know, he's been in a movie, you know, he was in a movie when he was a kid. Yeah. You know, he has just had so many big moments in his life. And I remember when the Capitals drafted him and I started learning more about him and I saw him as a player, you know, you could see that he was this type of guy who was just going to be a star. You know, a lot of people had their doubts about him, you know, especially when he kind of waffled on coming over, but it's just so apropos for him to score this goal. You know what I mean? Especially after kind of missing that shot in the, was it the second period where he got that, pass in the right outside the crease. Yeah. And then he didn't shoot. And he was kind of a little bit of a goat a little bit. It was such a perfect play. It's so great that Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer potentially of all time. And how that goal happened was they played good defense. I think Kuzi stole it from Crosby. Ovi gets it and passes it. And it's a perfect pass. You know, I just think there's so much symbolism in that, you know. And I kind of thought that one of the grinders or one of the lower level guys would score a random goal. But that just feels so right. You know, I don't know. Like, even when Ovi did his hot lap this morning, you know, you could just tell that something was different. You know, that they played great neutral zone defense. They choked the Penguins out. You know, it was such a good game. I just can't believe it. You know,
consider this. I mean, like, yeah, Phil Kessel was obviously hurt. I'm sure we'll hear more about that when they do breakdown day tomorrow or Wednesday. But the since game one or two, the Penguins have definitely been the healthier team, or the more a ready team than the Capitals, right? The players that they got to suit up, the players that they were missing were less important than the players that the Capitals were missing, with Burakovsky, Wilson, Backstrom. I guess those are the big three. But the Capitals kept the Penguins even in this game. I think they probably mildly outchanced them. I think in the previous game, they had that one just horrible period in game five. That second period was just a disaster. But, you know, this really was like a 5-on-5 even series, which is so weird because, you know, last year the Capitals definitely outplayed the Penguins during 5-on-5. And it's just that every single breakaway goal ended up in the back of the damn net. I think that this was a more meager, closer series, less soaring, if you will, even though Crosby was on the ice for every single goal and he deserves a whole lot of accolades that he'll get from that. But it wasn't a chess match because it was nasty. Yeah. It was dirty. It was choppy. Like, there was no flow to it, but damn it, the Caps won it. So I don't care.
I have a question for you, is that in this moment when that happened, was there anything that you kind of thought back to? Like, oh man, I survived being a Caps fan, you know, and actually saw this. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking that, like, so I gave you a hard time last time we did a podcast about, like, saying somebody was due. I don't remember what the example was, but I was like, oh, that's like due theory, where, you know, like, a player's been cold for a while, so they're gonna hit a home run next time they're at bat.
The Caps, yeah. I said that the Caps have lost 9 of 10 to the Penguins, so they are due. Yeah. As a team, like it's almost statistically improbable for them to lose 10 out of 11.
So in my head. But that's what I thought of. I just thought, like, the Caps deserved to win last year. They played a damn good series. And, like, the things that decide games are ineluctable at times. Like, you just don't know. Hockey is a mysterious sport to some. You know, it's effort, it's grit, it's heart. But that makes it seem like the players just sort of manifest by sheer effort the result of the game, and it's not that. There's bounces, there's chaos in it, and the what you deserve is not always what you get, and that's kind of what I like about it, or at least that's one of the things I like about it. And I think about, you know, last year's series, which I thought the Caps had an excellent team, good players, deserved to win, stepped on their feet a little bit, but I was thinking about those guys. But that also said, I was thinking about in 2009, I was sitting in Stephen Curran's living room with John Cho, I think it was for game six, flipping over couches and screaming at the TV and hanging out with with Emmy, my first bulldog. And, you know, us, like, hugging each other and just flipping out, watching it on Versus. I just had a great time watching that series. And it was a beautiful, beautiful back and forth series between those two teams. The quality of the game, I think, was better than we saw in this series. But I don't know. I've had a good time watching this team get trounced. And I don't know. I had a lovely time this evening sitting with the woman I love, and a cat that hates my guts, to watch the Capitals get this stupid thing off their back. What about you? What were you thinking of?
You know, I was thinking, the first thing that I thought about was the last time they went to the Stanley Cup final, and I watched that team and I was so excited. I mean, my heart was completely full, and I hadn't really been hurt before with hockey. And, like, I was just completely into the team, and that team, you know, they weren't the best team in the East, but they because of reseeding and all the good teams losing in the first round, they ended up being the best team left. and they beat Boston, Ottawa, and rolled through Buffalo somehow with Joey Junel. Mm-hmm. And then they went to those two final games, and I just remember them playing the Red Wings and them being the better team in my head. I thought they were the better team, and you know they lost, and Esa-Tikkanen had that one shot. But I thought back to that, and I thought about how they were a ragtag group of guys who came together at the right time, but just weren't better than the Red Wings. And I thought tonight, you know, this is kind of a superstar team. You know, they have so many great players, and a lot of their depth players are very good, and a lot of their young players are going to be stars for a long time for this team. And I just thought about how if they can get past the Penguins, which they did, I just thought about how I really believe they're now going to have the confidence to really do some damage. And I'm not going to say anything beyond that, but if you think about it, this was kind of like their crowning moment in a sense. And now the fun really begins. You know, if they're having fun already, now they're really going to have some fun. You know, I don't think they have any pressure at all going against Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? In a sense that they already accomplished, you know, all that they wanted, in a sense that they got to the third round and everybody's going to kind of leave them alone. You know what I mean? Like after the season, we're not going to be asking what happened. This was a successful season. So, you know, I thought about that. I thought about how when the Red Wings won, I've told the story a few times, I tore up all my Sergei Fedorov hockey cards, which I wish I had now, and I've tried to flush them down the toilet after that 98 final loss. I remember a few years ago when I went to practice and I was talking to someone on the team privately, and they were playing the Penguins in the second round, and they were like, if we can just get past them, we know we can do it. And I'm just thinking about how happy I am for all of them in the room, all the workers for the Capitals, because I know everyone kind of wins and losses with the team and the players, and I just can't imagine how great everyone feels. It's I was so just true. Screaming when he scored, though.
Yeah, I did a very high note. It was a very high I don't want to like talk about the future too much, because I guess like I was thinking about like when the Caps beat the Rangers in 2011, you know, 1 year after getting Halak'd, and they like run into Tampa and then just everything goes wrong. And I like, you know, they got swept and that was a disaster. And I don't think that this is like that at all. I think this is a different Caps team, a more resolute Caps team, a much better goalie than they had that year. That's my shade at Michael Neuvirth, like usual. But, Tampa Bay is a damn good team. I think a lot of folks picked them to win the Stanley Cup from the drop in October. Vasilevsky was the best goalie in the league for probably 5 months. Stamkos is maybe not what he was a couple years back, but he's an amazing player. Kucherov was in the race for points and goals. They're an excellent hockey team. Victor Hedman's amazing. Strawman's amazing. It's going to be a good series. It's going to be a different series. I think that the Caps, as much as they wanted to be big against the Blue Jackets and dynamic against the Penguins, they weren't really able to play the way they wanted to play against the Penguins. They had injuries and suspensions to deal with. I think we're going to see the Capitals get rested. I imagine this series probably won't start until Thursday or Friday. I think we're going to see a Caps team that hopefully is loose, confident for the first time in a million years, hopefully slightly healthier. I don't think we'll see Andrei Burakovsky anytime soon. I'm really worried about what it means for Nicky Backstrom's hand, but I don't know. I'm excited to see them play. Oh, gosh, it's going to be weird. They're not going to be on home ice. They're going to be in Tampa for two games.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Weird. Well, and Backstrom's injury, you know, I was surprised they termed it day-to-day. you have to assume it's a broken hand or a broken knuckle or something really, really badly bruised. Like, but it looked like he had like a cast on something. So on one of his fingers or something. So, you know, I'm hoping that, I'm really hoping that Nicky can play through it at some point. You know, I hope they can just get to a point where he has a chance to play in that series, but who knows, hockey players are hockey players. Game one, we might see him just out there with one hand. He'll probably lead both teams in goals.
Yeah, he'll play
that's
on the
how,
wing.
That's how it works.
And Stevenson will be center, taking like, the base offs. All right. Let's get some rest. Let's let our web server get some rest. It was a big night, wasn't it?
It was. And I'm so happy that everybody got to see this and we all kind of pulled through together. Just seeing all the reactions on Twitter was just, you know, because you know a lot of the people, and just to see how happy they are on top of how happy you feel, it's just so euphoric. And you know, I'm beaming.
It was good to see everyone's in a good mood, and I my friend Ian texted me to congratulate me on the win, which was good. He was the only one that texted me. It was, you know, we put so much investment into this stupid team and this silly sport, and freaking A, man, like they paid us back tonight, and it feels good. And let's see where it goes from here.
Oh man, I mean, it's just gonna be. You know, now you know what the best part is? You know, I wrote about in the second round how people were so beat down by last year's loss and how the team didn't really change anything and they struggled to find hope. Everybody's going to have hope now, you know, and it's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful next 2 weeks. And regardless of what happens, regardless of what happens, this year was a success. And, you know, now it's our time to just put our all into this team and really give them every ounce of energy we have. And hopefully, you know, something crazy can happen, you know, and hopefully if something crazy happens in the Eastern Conference Final, they don't play Vegas or Nashville, where it'll be GMGM versus GMBM or Philip Forsberg versus the Capitals.
Buddy, it's either going to be if the Capitals could beat the Bolts, it's either going to be Nate Schmidt and George McPhee or Philip Forsberg. There's just no way that it doesn't happen.
There's no way it could be any different. And
we can't get ahead of ourselves. Oh, actually, I'm speaking ahead of myself because the Jets and Preds are playing right now. I don't even know what the score is between those two teams. Are you watching it right now? Is it in front of you?
No, I actually have the TV off and I'm just staring at the no signal graphic kind of like moving every 10 seconds.
Okay. The Preds are up 2-0 at the end of the second period, which suggests that we're probably going to see that series go the distance, which is awesome. We finally get a game 7 between two awesome teams. I may put that on before I turn in for the night, which means that we may have some more time off before the third round starts. So that's badass.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal. But yeah, let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. Thank you, man.
I think we should do one thing before we go. I think we should
scream
into our microphone.
I know I can't do it. I've got neighbors. I can't scream. You're in a single family home. I'm in an apartment. You may scream. Go nuts. I'm just gonna go ahead and pot down my headphones real quick. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, do it. Are you ready? You ready?
Go. Go, go, go.
We're going to the Eastern Conference Final, baby. Yeah.
All right, I'm very excited about it. There, I hope I didn't undercut the enthusiasm there.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now, it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.